3.8 billion years ago, asteroids came raining down from space. They began crashing down on our Earth's surface and decimated the barren land. But with them didn't just come destruction. With them also came life. Well, not life exactly, but where life started. Water. Hello, and welcome to today's Above Crisis. Water. Water is our most essential resource, and it covers about 71% of our soil. With around 326 million trillion gallons of it, you would think we would never run out. But that's not necessarily true. Don't get me wrong, salt water is probably never going away. But fresh water? That's a different story. We pollute and waste our water in such a detrimental way that it's unsustainable. If we continue to do things like this, eventually, we'll start running low. It's not a distant event either. It is already happening right here in Canada, with the Aboriginals. Last year, a native tribe called the Neskantaga had to evacuate their homes after an incident in the reserve's reservoir forced them out. Since then, they've been living out their days in a nearby hotel. This sudden change has had a heavy impact on the natives, and the chief says that they don't know how much longer they can stay. This story was all over the news back in October, and many other stories tell of the same tale. You may be asking, what has the government done about this? Surely they have a plan. And yes, they do. A faulty one. They have decided that instead of fixing these problems in the short term, they are going to do it in the long term. In other words, we'll handle it later. You see, back in 2015, ex-Prime Minister Justin Trudeau committed to ending all short-term water advisories by March of 2021. A water advisory, by the way, is when the government says that a location's water is unsafe. Then, they issue an advisory warning people about the dangers and give them a temporary solution. Since Trudeau's failure, however, everything has moved to the long term. The number of consequences with this decision is high, with concerns like lack of running water, worsened water quality, and the increased spread of avoidable illnesses racking up. To understand exactly how bad conditions will get, we'll have to take a deeper look at each concern. There are three primary factors affected by this plan: water, agriculture, and health. Water is an obvious one. The longer we put things on hold, the worse the water quality gets. We're talking contaminants like E. coli, coliform, trihalomethane, and uranium swarming their lakes and rivers at a rate worse than already seen. Tap water will get more and more scarce, making people travel further distances for it. Water advisories will pile up until there are too many to fix, and reservoir machinery will break down until they're irreparable. All of these matters are grave, and they get even worse as they tie into other concerns as well. The lack of fresh water has already harmed their agriculture, and it's only going to get harder for things to grow. Farmers can't manage crops like sunflowers, corn, and rice without a struggle already, and people are already running out of food sources. With strains like this, acts like trading, eating, and hunting become challenging. This process runs full circle, and it makes life difficult for the Aboriginals, which leads to the last concern, health. These dilemmas place a lot of stress on people, and many natives suffer both mentally and physically. As stated earlier in the Neskantaga story, the residents have many diseases and mental issues, and they're ruining their futures. Conditions like eczema, depression, malnutrition, and substance addiction are unusually high amongst Aboriginals, and without proper help. It's going to stay that way for generations. It is apparent that Indigenous are living dreadfully, but what if I told you that that could soon be our future globally?
About 1 in 8 people don't have access to safe water, and it's even worse in cities where that number is only 1 in 4. On top of that, our population has doubled in the last 40 years. Industrialization continues to develop in response, and our use of water has also quadrupled. Again, to put this simply, we are literally drinking our home, this lovely green and blue milkshake, all up. And if you're thinking water scarcity only happens to other people, I've got water, I'm fine, think again. Even places that currently have access to clean water are at risk due to things like industrial accidents, agricultural waste, poor water management, natural disasters, and yep, from all of the other things that people like you and I flush down the drain. See, that stuff doesn't just go away, it goes back into your milkshake. Innovations of culture and technology that offer sustainable and cleaner industry, farming, and living can change the way that we and all of our descendants live for the better.
That was a bit from the video Water Crisis, a Short Introduction. It is a 3-minute long video that summarizes our current dilemma with global water consumption. As you can see, water scarcity can be our future if we're not careful, and most of the causes and issues of it are the same as the ones the indigenous have. So we already know what's wrong, but what we haven't discussed is how we can fix it. Before we get into any actual solutions, I want to discuss education. It may not seem important, but it's a valuable asset to prevent future crises. If we educate future generations of our past mistakes and solutions, we will motivate them to have new behaviors toward our planet. Hopefully, this will mitigate any complications that future tech production might cause. Aside from that, though, the solutions I'm going to be discussing are new water conservation technology, improved agricultural practices, and recycled wastewater. If you don't know, water conservation tech is when you invent a product that uses water in the most efficient way possible. For example, shower regulators. You put them in your shower to make sure that you don't end up wasting too much water while you bathe. Our current conservation technology is old and flawed, so it would be a great idea to replace them. It would take a bit of time, a lot of money, and a new energy strategy. But if we spend the efforts to invent new technology for our water conservation, we could be saving ourselves tons of future grief. The other method is improved agricultural practices. As mentioned in the video, around 70% of the world's fresh water goes to agriculture. Most of that fresh water, though, is wasted because of faulty irrigation systems, so we would be saving a lot of water by fixing them. Some countries have already started doing this, either by replacing their old systems or by adding to them. They seem to be working, but we need more of them. Lastly, we have recycled wastewater. Wastewater is water that has been used and is no longer clean enough to utilize. Recycling wastewater is the act of cleaning the dirty water or finding a different place to use it. An example of recycling is using the same water to wash vegetables. You can only do this a few times and the water still needs to be decently clean, but if you use the same water at least twice, you're already cutting that consumption figure in half. The idea of this is to make recycling wastewater a prominent option by creating more ways to either reuse or clean the water. This way, our regular and industrial consumption will reduce drastically. Most of these solutions will take time and money, but using these methods, we can create a bluer future. Whether nationally or globally, everyone is facing a big challenge, and we all need to work together to change that. Every effort counts, big and small. So let's all start filling our lakes by fixing small things in our home. Leaky taps, runny shower heads, uninsulated pipes, anything. It may not seem like much, but if we all thought that way, nothing would ever get done. We need to remember that our actions matter, and together we can rise. Rise above crises. I'm your host, Miriam Nasser. Thank you so much for listening.